Chapter 14. The question nagging at Jim Chee wasn't the sort he wanted to explore on the tribal police radio band. He stopped at the Hogback trading post, dropped a quarter in the payphone, and called the number Leaphorn had left. It proved to be the Anasazi Inn in Farmington, but the front desk said Leaphorn had checked out. Chee dropped in another quarter and called his own office. Jennifer answered. Yes, Leaphorn had called again. He said he was on his way back from Farmington to Window Rock and he would drop by and try to catch Chee at his office. Chee got there about 5 minutes faster than the speed limit allowed. Leaphorn's car was in the parking lot. The man himself was perched ramrod straight on a chair in the waiting room, reading yesterday's copy of Navajo Times.
If you have a couple of minutes, I want to pass on some information, Leaphorn said. Otherwise, I can catch you when you have some time.
I have time, Chee said, and ushered him into his office. Leaphorn sat.
I'll be brief. I've taken a retainer from the Breedlove Corporation. Actually, it's really the family, I guess. They want me to sort of reinvestigate the disappearance of Hal Breedlove.
He paused, awaited a reaction. If he was reading Chee's studiously blank expression properly, the young man didn't like the arrangement.
So it's official business for you now, Chee said. At least unofficially official.
Right, Leaphorn said. I wanted you to know that because I may be bothering you now, then, with questions.
He paused again.
Is that it? Chee asked.
If it was, he had some questions of his own.
There's something else I wanted to tell you. I think it's pretty clear the family thinks Hal was murdered. If they have any evidence of that, they're not telling me. Maybe it's just that they want it to be murder, and they want to be able to prove it. They want to regain title to the ranch.
Oh, Chee said. Did they tell you that? Leaphorn hesitated, his expression quizzical. What the devil was bothering Chee?
I was thinking that would be the most likely motive, he said. What do you think?
Chee nodded noncommittally.
Can you tell me who you made the deal with? He asked.
You mean the individual? Leaphorn said. I think private detectives are supposed to have a thing about client confidentiality, but I haven't learned to think like a private eye. Never will. This is my one and only venture. George Shaw handed me my check.
He laughed and told Chee how he'd outsmarted himself trying to learn how big a deal this was for the Breedlove Corporation.
So Hal's cousin signed the check, but the lawyer with him, you remember his name?
McDermott, Leaphorn said.
John McDermott, he's the lawyer handling it. He called me and arranged the meeting. Works for a Washington firm, but I think he used to have an office in Albuquerque, and
he stopped, aware of Chee's expression.
You know this guy?
Indirectly, Chee said. He was sort of an Indian Affairs specialist for an Albuquerque firm. I think he represented Peabody Coal when they were negotiating one of the coal contracts with us, and a couple of pipeline companies dealing with the Jicarillas. Then he moved to Washington and is doing the same thing on that level. I think it's with the same law firm.
Leaphorn looked surprised.
You know a lot more about him than I do, he said.
How's his reputation? It okay?
As a lawyer? I guess so. He used to be a professor.
He struck me as arrogant.
Is that your impression?
She shrugged. I don't know him. I just know a little about him.
Well, he didn't make a good first impression.
Could you tell me when he called you? I mean, made the first contact?
The question obviously surprised Leaphorn.
Let's see, he said. 2 or 3 days ago.
Was it last Tuesday?
Tuesday? Let's see. Yeah, it was a call on my answering machine. I returned it.
Morning or afternoon?
I don't know. It could have been either one, but it's still on the recording. I think I could find out.
I'd appreciate that, Chee said.
Will do, Leaphorn said, and paused. I'm trying to place the date. That would have been about the day after you got the skeleton identified, right?
Chi sighed. Lieutenant Liebhorn, he said, you already know just what I'm thinking, don't you?
Well, I'd guess you're wondering how that lawyer found out so quickly that the skeleton had turned out to be somebody so important to his client. No announcement had been made, nothing in the papers until a day or so later, and I don't think it ever made the national news. Just a little story around here, and about three paragraphs in the Albuquerque Journal, and a little bit more in the Rocky Mountain News.
That's what I'm thinking, she said.
But you're ahead, I think, personal.
Oh, leaped his head, shook it, and said, oh, again. Sad now. And then he looked up.
You know, they could have had this thing staked out, though. An important client? Maybe they had some law firm out here retained to tip them off if anything turned up that would bear in any way at all on this son and heir being missing. They knew he was a mountain climber, so when an unidentified body turns up... He shrugged. Who knows how law firms operate? He said, not believing it himself.
Sure, she said. Anything's possible.
Liebhorn was leaving, hat in hand, but he stopped in the doorway and turned. One other thing that might bear on all this, he said. He told Chi of Sergeant Deke's account of the man with the binoculars and the rifle on the canyon rim. Deke said he's going up the canyon and warn Nez that somebody may still be trying to kill him. I hope we can figure this out before they do it.
Chi sat for a moment looking at the closed door, thinking of Liebhorn, thinking of Janet Pete, of John McDermott back in New Mexico. Was he back in her life? Apparently he was. For the first time, the fallen man became more than an abstract tragedy in Chi's mind. He buzzed Jennifer.
I'm taking off now for Gallup, he said. If Lago needs me, if anybody calls, tell them I'll be back tomorrow.
Hey, Jennifer said, you have two meetings on the calendar for this afternoon. The security man from the community college and Captain Largo was...
Call them and tell them I had to cancel, Chi said, forgetting to say thanks when he hung up.
Captain Largo wouldn't like this, but then he didn't particularly like Captain Largo, and he sure as hell didn't like being an acting lieutenant.